I can completely understand the desire for young people to want to move out, live on their own. But the challenge is this. If you have more and more households fragmenting, we just will not have enough land to accommodate everyone's needs.
So to kick off the discussion, we've prepared a short video which features voices from everyday Singaporeans. So let's
check it out.
What's the most challenging thing about living in Singapore?
Definitely like rising cost of living with the rising price of houses. First, my parents would like tell me like, oh yeah, we bought our house for like 100,000. It was like so hard for us. And I was like, wow, like houses now are like 700,000. That's harder for me.
Nowadays, job would like require like those diploma, then like degree. You can enter with a lower education lah, but your salary will be like lesser than the rest.
Education-wise, it's very fast-paced for me. So I think our teachers expect us to like learn a lot and like be able to pick up fast.
I think it would definitely be the cost of living, especially with the projected increase in the GST prices from 7% to 8% and now to 9%. I'll be going to uni in like a few months' time, and for me to finish, it will take around 4 years. After that, finding a job and saving up enough to actually purchase houses and just basically things all around will be quite expensive.
Like the whole idea of BTO and getting a family and everything, I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because it's so just one dimensional. Like if I don't want to get a BTO, then I don't get a house unless I pay so much more extra to get a house on my own.
So DPM, I would love to get your thoughts on this. Like, how have the concerns around cost of living changed over the years? When you were a youth, like we are today, back in the day, how did you feel about cost of living?
Cost of living, Sabrina, is an issue that I think everyone feels a challenge. It's a challenge that has consistently been felt over the years, but it's a challenge that's not unique to Singapore as well. It's everywhere around the world. But this challenge has become more acute in recent time because of several factors all coming together at the same time. COVID-19 disruptions, the war in Ukraine, which is affecting energy and food supplies everywhere. And that's why today there is a cost of living crisis worldwide. We are not unique. But my assurance to all of you in Singapore, especially our youths, is that you are not alone in this journey, and we will walk this journey together. The government will provide as much support as we can. So, for example, on housing, that's something that many young people are concerned about. Rest assured, we will catch up with our building program because we were disrupted by the pandemic in the last 3 years. We will catch up. And we will make sure that housing remains affordable for all of you. When you want to settle down and buy a flat, don't just look at the headline prices. Huh? Because when you look at the headline prices, you say, oh, it's very scary. That's now the lady in the video said her parents bought the flat at 100,000. My parents bought their flat at 30,000. I mean, so, 30,000 to 100,000 to a few hundred thousand today looks very scary, but when my parents bought the flat at $30,000 in Marine Parade, their salary, my mom's salary as a teacher, was less than $500. It was a struggle for her also. So don't just look at headline prices. It's also incomes where we are today. And our assurance of affordability for HDB flats is that if you graduate, wherever you graduate from, ITE, Polytechnic, University, whichever institution, you get a job, you work for a while, you settle down, you will be able to get a new flat, be it a three-room or four-room flat, affordably, meaning to say you can get a loan from HDB, and most of the loan will be paid using your CPF, and you will have very little out-of-pocket cash to pay. So it will be affordable, and this is something that we can assure in Singapore. If you were to live anywhere else in the world, especially in a global city like London, Tokyo, New York, Hong Kong, it's almost impossible for young persons to buy a flat like that. And that's what we will be able to do. Likewise, for cost of living concerns, we will continue to provide support for everyone to tackle cost of living concerns.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your perspective on this. And, you know, we'd love to hear more from the audience. And as we know, it's a conversation, right? And we would love to hear whether, you know, you guys in the room feel strongly about cost of living. Is there anything that you'd like to share? And if you would like to chime in, just raise your lollipop sign and I'll call you. Yeah, okay. So Alistair would like to share.
Hi, DPM.
Hi,
DPM Alistair here.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for really sharing about cost of living. I think that it's really quite relevant to us as well. And just wanted to find out as well, besides on just the economic areas, for example, the war in Ukraine, rising inflation, and so on and so forth, are there any other factors do you think that is causing this sense of rising cost of living as well? Is it also maybe socially, for example, with the rise of digital media, with social media, for example, or is it because probably we see ourselves and then we see our previous generations, which are our parents, and they have already made it in life, quote-unquote, in a way, because they have already almost retirement, they've done well in their jobs, and then we see that we just started out. Is that one of the reasons why, or is it because of the changing aspirations of the younger generation as well, and maybe the things that we want are different from the previous generations as well, and that's why we feel that there's this sense of rising cost of living, but maybe there are more things that are deeper seated within as well. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
No, thank you very much, Alistair. I think it's a very relevant point. Expectations and aspirations certainly have a part to play, because if you want a certain lifestyle, you want to aspire to purchase certain things, then sometimes the items may be more expensive. You can have a cup of coffee at a coffee shop and a cup of coffee at Starbucks costs very different. So these things do matter. Our aspirations, our expectations in life do matter. And that can contribute to certain stresses around cost of living. So it is a relevant point. Sometimes other factors include, and people have said, GST increase. It was on the video too, so I should address the elephant in the room. Yes, GST is going up for a reason, because the government needs revenues. We need revenues to look after our growing number of seniors, which is expanding. The numbers are rising very fast, and we need to take better care of them, especially for healthcare expenditures. But we are effectively deferring the impact of the GST increase for most Singaporeans, because we are providing an offset. So most Singaporeans will not feel the impact of the GST increase for at least 5 years, which is why that should not be an immediate cause for concern in the immediate term, right? But there are other factors that contribute to higher prices, energy, food, and these are the reasons. And those are the things that we will try very much to cushion, which is why this year alone, we are providing enough offsets so that for a low-income family, when they have to spend more because of inflation, we will offset entirely the increase in spending due to inflation. And for a middle-income family, we will offset about half of the increase in spending. So, for example, a middle-income family this year may have to spend more than $3,000 more annually because prices have gone up. The offsets they get from the government will be more than half of that additional increase. And that will provide some cushioning, we hope, for low-income and middle-income families. We are doing that this year, and we are studying what more we can do next year. So like I said just now, our assurance is we will help everyone through these challenges with regards to the cost of living.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And thanks, Alistair, for your question. Does anyone else have anything to add around the cost of living, whether it's you know, your own comments or questions around it?
Yes.
You can introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Wint, a student for Republic Polytechnic. So my question to you is, with the rising cost of living and as youths become more ambitious and our hustle culture is more normalized over the years to the point that we see ourselves in a rat race, based on our individual achievements, such as our grades, our salaries, houses. So how do you think that moving forward, Singapore can strengthen our work-life balance dealing with the cost of living rather than the hustle culture to enhance our quality of life?
Sure. The hustle culture becoming more normalized. What do you say? Can you say a little bit more?
From what I see in many of my peers, our hustle culture would be achieving extremely high grades or getting into universities or even competing for jobs, aiming for higher salaries, things like that, yeah.
Well, I would say there may be a bit of that pressure coming from your parents, from society, but at the end of the day, I hope everyone feels that we are all unique individuals. We all have our different strengths. And we should understand what our strengths are. Don't try to be someone we are not. I mean, that's not going to happen. If our strengths are in sports, in arts, in you know, something different from a traditional path, so be it. Pursue that, right? And we will want to have in Singapore the ability to encourage and to help everyone realize their full potential based on their strengths, to have multiple pathways where people can achieve success in different areas without that sense of having to compare with one another and that sense of then, you know, I have to conform. So that's something we would try very much to work on. And hopefully that will reduce some of the stress and the feeling of being in a rat race as well.
I hear you about, you know, how do you reconcile the hustle culture with having to, I guess, kind of, for lack of a better word, struggle and meet the increased pressures around, like, cost of living and getting those jobs. And I think we can... Do you have anything else to add around that?
Do everyone feel the same way? You are in this feeling that you are in a rat race? Or when I was your age, you know, young people sometimes at your age coming out, you feel like maybe you want to be a little bit more laid back. You don't want to, you know, work so hard. I spend more time in my first year in university playing the guitar than I spend studying. And that's fine, I think, right? It's okay, right? Life is not just all about grades. But at some point in time, in your search and your discovery for what you want to do, I suppose you will decide that maybe this is an area that I would like to focus on, an area that I find tremendous fulfillment, and then maybe that's where you apply all of your energies. Hopefully, that you will arrive at that point in time. But it's okay it's okay to take a step back from the hustle culture and take care of your own mental well-being. I think that's perfectly fine.
You know, something that we've also seen in a recent publication that's called The State of Youth in Singapore was that most youth actually regarded that having a place of their own was very important. So, you know, and in the questions that we received online, several people shared questions around making our housing policy more inclusive and more accessible to groups like singles in their 20s and their 30s as well. So let's kind of like dig into this topic on housing policies, right? Does anyone have any comments on the floor around Singapore's housing policy?
Is anyone in the midst of applying for an HDB flat here? Oh,
aha! That's a
how has it been? Before. You may want to share your views.
Test. Yes. Hi, DPM. I'm Jun Kit and I'm a student from SMU. So my housing application journey has just started, actually. So previously in the August BTO launch, I applied once. I didn't get it because I went to apply for a mature estate. So obviously the chances are harder, lah. So I guess in relation to since we're on this topic of housing, we all know that a lot of people would like to apply for BTOs in mature estates because they're high in demand, there's a lot of facilities around them. And non-mature estates are not as attractive, even though there is almost a guarantee that if you apply up to 3 times, you can get a BTO in non-mature estates.
You're very familiar with the policy. Well done. Yeah.
And I would say that a lot of expectations from the youth are that we are able to somehow get our housing that is near our parents and near a good location. But if that is not a possibility, given our land constraints, what can we do to assure the population that actually, hey, if you're going to somewhere that's like 10, 15 kilometers away, it's actually okay?
Sure. We are studying this particular issue because we know that everyone would like to live near their parents. But there are, as you say, real land constraints. If you are living in a mature estate, very built up, then where to find the land to build new flats? So this is not something that can be easily solved. In a brand new non-mature estate or relatively new non-mature estate, then of course you have larger tracts of land. So we were able to build up very quickly Punggol, Sengkang, Tengah. Then you have lots of land to build new flats, and that's why young people, if you apply for a non-mature estate, your chances of getting one there is very high. One way, of course, is the parents and the children move together, and then they apply together, which has happened before, and then they can still live together, and we give priority for that as well. So that is one option, but not very many old folks want to uproot themselves, so that's still a challenge. So we are studying. We are looking at whether there are ways in which we can address this problem more effectively. We will never be able to provide as much of a guarantee in a mature estate that's already very built up. But potentially there will be some areas where, even considered as mature estates, where we may be able to open up new tracts of land for development, potentially. And if in such areas, maybe there will be more opportunities for new flats to be built and then for young couples to be able to access these flats as well. And we will also, besides new flats, we also have something called the Proximity Housing Grant, where we provide grants for young couples. If you say you really want to buy a flat, but there are no new flats in that area, then you can buy a resale flat, and we give you an additional grant to live near your parents. So these are things we already have, but we are still reviewing our schemes to see how we can make it better.
So I have a question.
Oh, applying for HDB too?
So, on the contrary, I would like to, but I cannot. Because I am in my early 30s, I would like to stay on my own. Actually, I have to stay on my own. So I would love to hear from you whether, you know, the government is hoping to make HDBs more accessible to people in their 20s and 30s. There's also there's a trend right now where more folks want to live outside on their own, with more people working from home remotely and all that. So what's your take on that?
Oh, I can completely understand the desire for young people to want to move out, live on their own. But the challenge is this. If you have more and more households fragmenting, that means people moving out and to live on their own, we just will not have enough land to accommodate everyone's needs. And that is our fundamental challenge. And therefore, it's an issue of trying to prioritize. Even today, without talking about the demand from singles in their 20s and early 30s, even today, we are already unable to meet the demand, right? Because young couples are still having to wait. Seniors who need elderly flats, when they want to retire, unable to get their flats. And then those who are singles above 35, who are eligible, applying, still have a long queue. So even with today's criteria, the demand is quite large, and we are unable to catch up with the demand. Not to mention that we still have to look around and see whether there's sufficient land to build new flats. So this is our conundrum. The land constraint is real, and while we understand the desire for people to have flats earlier, unfortunately, given the constraints we face, we do have to prioritize. So it's for really the time being.
So it's really a matter of prioritization. Is there any room for exceptions?
Well, everyone wants to be an exceptional case. So how do you decide which one is more deserving? That's very challenging. Of course, the best way to get a flat is to settle down now.
If you marry the wrong person, then
yeah.
How?
No. Make sure... make sure you do it for the right reasons. Please, don't do it just for the sake of the flat, right? Make sure you do it for the right reasons. So yes, hopefully you find the right person too.
Okay, very thank important. You very much for sharing. How are we trying to improve that tangibly?
There's a task force at work. More will be revealed.
I'm gonna tekan you.
More will be revealed.